seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I again direct you to Psalm 42 and the 11th verse. Psalm 42 and verse 11. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Psalm 42 and verse 11. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Now the word of God is full of questions. And here we have these two questions set forth by the dear psalmist and by the Holy Spirit. The first is, why art thou cast down, O my soul? You know, a little child will often ask many questions, won't they? Why this and why that? And that is one of the ways they learn, by asking questions. And we may say that is applicable to God's dear people. There are many questions, aren't there? Often we ask before the Lord, Lord, why this? And why that? And of course, one of the important questions is this, which the Apostle Paul said, who hath made us to differ from another? And you think about it naturally, we're all different in many ways. Naturally speaking. But think about it concerning our souls. Who has made us to differ? We trust there is a difference between our heart and the world, because nothing that we have done has made it different. It's God's work from beginning to end. And the dear psalmist, he knew what it was to be cast down. So do the world. So do the ungodly. We see many solemn cases of disasters and different things that take place that cast the world down. But they never really lay it to heart. But with the child of God, they have to come in with the psalmist here, why art thou cast down? You see, it's laid to heart. There's a reason for it. Why the sinner is cast down. And we particularly look this morning at the sins within us that cast us down, that no man sees, don't they? But the Lord sees us. You know, if we were always conscious of the all-seeing eye of the Lord, seeing us exactly as we are, we'd be far more cautious how we walked, how we lived, how we acted, what we spoke, and so on, what we think. For you see, the all-seeing eye of the Lord was upon dear David. And he addresses his own soul, what thou cast down, O my soul. Now it wasn't just because of his sin. And I don't want to go over anything we touched this morning particularly, but looking at it in David's case, there were many things that cast him down. One was the onslaughts of his enemies. Saul particularly. And you think how many times as he flees from Saul, he was so cast down. Oh, he was. And then how he was so cast down because he had to flee from Absalom, his son. And there were many enemies of nations that came against him, that cast him down. And he didn't just cast his mind down. He cast his inmost soul down. So, you know, if we are cast down in our soul, it affects, if I know anything about it in any way, the whole being of the child of God. Oh, it does. We read in the last part of this text, when he speaks about, as we looked at this morning, about the contrast in the text. He speaks about his God, who is the health of my countenance and my God. And you often find that a person that's really cast down in their soul, it reflects through in their countenance. And when the Lord blesses their soul, their whole countenance will change. Oh yes. You see, it's the health of, David says here, who is the health of my countenance. And when his soul is healthy and under the blessing of the Lord, his whole countenance reflects it. Oh, it does. That's a wonderful thing. And you can be in the midst of trouble and the Lord so come and bless you. And man cannot understand why, though you're in all this trouble, and yet in your soul you're full of the presence of the Lord and his rich blessing. And your countenance is no more sad. Think of dear Hannah. She had many things in her life to cast her down, didn't she? We're told about it in the first chapter of the book, the first book of Samuel. First of all, she was cast down because of her barrenness. You know, it's often referred to in those days, the frown of God being upon a woman if she was barren. And that cast her down, her barrenness. Well, we could go further with that, couldn't we? Because think about it spiritually. Are we not cast down when our soul is bowing? You think about it naturally. When in dry, drought weather, like we knew last summer time, many of the farmers, especially those that feared God, in this land were cast down because they feared there would be only such a poor harvest. Because of the drought, a barren land. You see, a barren land grows virtually nothing. And think about our hearts, how often we are so barren, aren't we? Because we are so much of the earth, and so sinful, and so far from the Lord. But what a difference when the Lord sends a gracious rain naturally, first of all, upon the land, and then a gracious rain in our souls. And what happens? There's a refreshing and a growing. The apostle spoke of it, of growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Why art thou cast down? Well, there was the first reason with Hannah. The second reason was that she was under the frown of God. The Lord seemed to have withdrawn from her, and she was in a dark place. Oh, she was. And it cast her down, and the absence, what does the hymn writer say? And we mourn an absent God. And it cast the sinner down, doesn't it? When the Lord seems far from us. Well, could the psalmist pray, be not far from me, O God. Why, you see, when the Lord is far from us, we are open to every danger. We need to be kept every moment. But then, the third thing that cast her down was her adversary that continually provoked her. She got an adversary. And it may be there are those of you today, well, the Lord has given me this word, where you've got an adversary that continually provokes you. And of course the prime adversary of the child of God is this, Satan. The arch enemy of the soul. And oh, when you're buffeted by the adversary, you know what it is to be cast down. Oh, you will. And you cannot lift yourself up, can you? Dear Hannah couldn't. What she needed, and the child of God in 2019 needs, is for the Lord to come and grant answers to your prayer. It may be you're cast down that the Lord has not answered your prayer or your petition. The things you may be praying for, you may have prayed, you may say, Lord, well, I think of my late grandmother. She was 24 when the Lord called her by grace. And she was 36 when she married my grandfather. And for years she prayed for him. And he was over 60 years of age. And she said to him one day, I prayed for you all these years, and I don't feel I can pray for you anymore. And you know, the Lord used that to call him by his grace. He'd rested on her prayers. Oh, yeah. She was 5 years older than him, so she must have been 66, so she'd prayed for him for 30 years. Or more, because of the courting days. She said, I can't pray for you anymore. The Lord seems to turn away all my prayers. And she was so cast down. And the Lord used it, you know. to bring him into concern. He suddenly realized that she was not praying for him anymore. And the Lord brought him under a deep law work that he, it was harvest time and they were thrashing by the old thrashing drum. And he feared to go anywhere near it for fear he would be, a belt would come off or a cog from the machine and he'd be ushered into eternity and be in hell. And for weeks he walked in that, you know. And on the Lord's day she said to him, you must come with me to the house of God. And he said, I can't come because I defile all those that are in there, such is my sin. But in the evening she persuaded him and he went. And dear Mr. Hickmott was the minister. And he preached from this word. This my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And he began, you know, right where my dear grandfather was and all that he'd walked through and what he'd been resting on. As though somebody told him everything. And he went right through and preached to the dear man how he felt this lost state he was in. He said, these are the characters, just before Mr. Hickmott sat down, that Christ came into the world to save. And he was like a bird let out of a cage. You see, our text spoke, and I spoke of it somewhat this morning, of two contrasts. Cast down in soul, disquieted within him, and yet, look at the other side, hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him. And oh, you think of the contrast. The dear man knew it. Do you know and do I know anything of it? Where the Lord has turned that cast down state into praise and into joy. Look at it in the case of Hannah. When the Lord heard and answered her prayer, and gave her a Samuel. What do we read? Her countenance was no more sad. The Lord had brought her out of it all. This cast down state. Oh, he had. But faith, you see, to your soul this afternoon in this cast down condition, whatever it may be, I may not name it. But the Lord knows what it is that casts you down, and the Lord can bring you out of it, and he'll give you that faith. The day will come and your hope will be in him. He says, hope thou in God, don't hope anywhere else. You can't hope in yourself, can you? Because you fail if you're anything like me continually. It's no use hoping in man. It's no use hoping in the world or hoping in things you can do yourself. Hope thou in God. We often sing it, don't we? My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame. Some of you may have sweet frames, you know, but he said, I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. There's your safety, you see, and there's your hope, and there your faith is centered. For I shall yet praise him, and faith will believe it. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? We read together that wonderful account of dear Jacob, dear father Israel. You think in that time of famine, now let's just look at one or two things that were casting him down. First of all, famine was upon the land. And you know where famine is upon the land today in other countries, where favoured for the most part here, we have not famine like other lands have. But you think of those lands where there's famine, there's so many poor people that are so cast down by it. Nothing to eat. Barrenness, you see. The children dying of hunger and so on. Now famine had come upon the land. And this was all known to Jacob's God. He had sent it. It wasn't by chance that famine came. But down in Egypt, God had gone before in sending Joseph down there. When they, the brethren, his brothers, sent him down there, they thought this was the end of him. Finish with him. It may be, and many young people think that, you know, they're brought up in the house of God, and they think, well, when we get to age, we're 21, as it used to be, 18 today, we'll be finished with all this religion. They thought they'd finish with Joseph. But the Lord had a divine appointment in it all. He must go down into Egypt. And the Lord raised him up to be governor over all Egypt. And in this famine, they have to go there, you see, to Joseph. They knew not that it was he. But he recognized them, who they were. And he brings them to book. And the Lord will his dear people. And he was to bring them to this place where he was to put them to the test to see whether they were real men or not, or spies in the land. And so he commands that they leave Simeon down there. And then they go back to Father Israel to get Benjamin. And think of dear old Jacob in it all. Cast down in his soul because of famine. But oh, he must be cast down further. And what does he say as they come to take away Benjamin from him? And Jacob, their father, said unto them, me have ye bereaved of my children. Joseph is not, and Simeon is not. And ye will take Benjamin away. All these things are against me. And that's what he felt, didn't he? Do you know what it is? A painful place to come to, you know. You'll know what it is to be cast down when you come there. But the wonderful thing in it was that it was not really all against him. That's how he felt. And that's how the child of God often feels when troubles come. It may be in your family, it may be in business, It may be in your health and so on. It may be in your soul. There's no doubt, and it's a painful place to come to where you feel you come to the end of everything. But you see, dear father Israel, Jacob felt like that. But the Lord hadn't come to the end in the matter, had he? There's a beautiful word, you know, that's absolutely opposite to that in Paul's letter to the Romans. I remember preaching from it in Norfolk some years ago, the contrast between all these things are against me and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are called according to his purpose. And I remember a dear man saying to me there, he said, you know, I've known what it is for all these things to be against me. But he said, I've known what it is for it all to work together for good. And you may be in your circumstance, it may be in your soul, it may be in the family, and so on, in the church of God. And you think how wonderfully it was to work together for good, wasn't it? We have this contrast then in the text. The cast down state of the child of God, dear old Jacob, so cast down, he felt it would destroy him completely. But why did we read chapter 45? Well, look at the contrast. Joseph in chapter 45 makes himself known to these brethren, who he was. They had meant it for evil, but what does he say? But God meant it for good. To go back to Father Israel and command him to come down into Egypt. Bring him down and look at all the wagons and everything Joseph sent to fetch him. And all that they needed, and he could spend the last part of his life in the land of Goshen, a most prosperous place. So different than it, all these things are against me, wasn't it? Faith, believing that the Lord would appear. And what do we read? And they went up out of Egypt and came into the land of Canaan unto Jacob their father and told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive. He is governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. And they told him all the words of Joseph, which he had said unto them. And when he saw the wagons that Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob their father revived. And Israel said, it is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die. It is enough. Instead of being so cast down to say, in the depths of it all these things are against me. He could now say, it is enough. I shall yet praise him. And he could, couldn't he? It is enough. You know, I often think of that word, it is enough. There are, you can look at it in two ways. You can look at it in the case of dear Jacob, when all these things are against me, he felt, it is enough, I can't take any more, Lord. And yet the child of God will come there from time to time. And then there's the other side, when he said, it is enough, Joseph my son is yet alive, and I will go into Egypt to see him before I die. He was full, wasn't he? We read of those that were full of the blessing of the Lord. Oh yes. And that's a wonderful thing, you know. But look at the contrast, the depths. But let us just look at it in another way. You see, you may say in your heart this afternoon, why have I got to come into these places where I'm so cast down? You have to go down, child of God, for the Lord to lift you up. You won't bring yourself up. You need the Lord to lift you up. And when he lifts you up, as he lifts you up, he'll give you that faith to believe. You will yet praise him. Oh yes. You think of dear Mary Magdalene after the resurrection, all the weeping she endured. Why? Because the Lord had been taken from her. But you think of when he spoke to her, Mary, the change there was in her. He turned all the weeping into joy. So we have here, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Is all this turmoil of disquiet and trouble within you? And you say, Lord, why is it? Well, let us just briefly, before I leave it this afternoon, look at a few of the reasons. Why the sinner is cast down? Well, we've looked at the circumstances that cast us down. But there's often a reason why. Not just the things that cast us down, but the Lord's purpose in it all. He casts the sinner down to bring them to the place where they have to look to him. Look to Jesus. Mercy flows through his dear precious blood. And now so often when we are cast down, we have to look to him, don't we? There's a looking up. We think of Jonah in the fish's belly. You think of the cast down state he was in. He felt to be in the belly of hell, didn't he? Searching place. But what does he say? And there was his hope. And there was his faith looking. I will look again toward thy holy temple. Now, if you weren't cast down and you're going along in a path of ease, you wouldn't be looking up. You'd be thinking, oh, well, things are going smooth and you settle down and you become prayerless and unexercised. But you say, I shall yet praise him. And then there's this. It's for the teaching of the child of God. It teaches you how poor you are, how empty you are, how helpless you are, how you have no strength of your own. You're dependent upon the Lord for help. You know, I feel that more and more. The Lord brings us to be dependent upon him. You say, take a little babe. It's dependent upon its mother, isn't it? Or its dear father. They look after it. They care for it. It's dependent upon them. It can't do anything itself. It can cry, it is true. And so does the child of God. And if you and I are real, we shall be dependent upon the Lord and we shall be crying unto him. Why does the child cry? Well, it cries, but maybe it wants milk, it wants food, it wants his nappy change, it's full of discomfort, or it is in need, you see. But the Lord brings us into these cast down places and disquieted within to make us lean hard on him. Oh, to be dependent upon him. But oh, it's to strengthen faith. And here we have it regarding the dear psalmist. What thou cast down, O my soul, what thou disquieted within me, hope thou in God. So where's your hope this afternoon of deliverance? Where's your hope of the Lord's appearing? It's not in yourself, is it? It's not in any arm of flesh, but in God, who is able. What do we sing? An able, willing Saviour too, dependent upon him for the help you need. An able, willing Saviour too. He's able. He is willing. Doubt no more. And then we have this beautiful word, for I shall. Look at the certainty. Yet praise him. I shall yet praise him. In other words, he was believing the Lord would bring him out from all these enemies that oppose him. Deliver his soul, as we looked at this morning, from all his sin and the inward troubles within him. Bring him out. The Lord strengthens faith, you know. We read of those in the Word of God that were strong in faith, don't we? Giving God the glory. Who is the help of my countenance, the health of my countenance, and my God? Could you say that this afternoon? Let me come low. Do we desire to be able to say it? That the Lord is the health of my countenance, and my God, and my God. If here the Lord is your God and my God, poor soul, he'll do everything you need. And nothing is too hard for him. Now, may we be brought to really, truly believe as we leave it today, in our souls, in the things that burden you, exercise you, weigh you down, cause you many tears, many sorrows, much crying, cast down stay, the Lord will bring you to yet praise him. He did Hannah, he did dear old Jacob, he did Hezekiah that we looked at this morning. He did the sorrowing disciples, and he turned their sorrow into joy. the fullness of this, of course, will be known in heaven when you can praise him through a vast eternity, forever, crowning him Lord of all. To God be the glory. Amen.